a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon. The South Dakota Senate will now come to order, and we're blessed to have Father Michael Griffin here leading us in our prayer. He's from the Pier Fort Pier Ministerial Association, and our two pages today leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag are Sarah Schilly from Bristol and Gemma Trask from Wasta.
And let us pray. Lord God and Creator of all things, 3 millennia ago your prophet Amos was called from his work tending the sycamores to speak your words and to challenge the people. He cried out the longings of the human heart and allowed 100,000 voices to plead with one voice. O Lord, let justice surge like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream. In these serious times, with serious issues which confront us as a state and a nation, we ask again with a prophet's voice that your blessings of wisdom and strength might be granted to those who lead us, who guide us, and who speak for us. May the surging stream of justice and righteousness flow over these elected to be our voice, those who help establish our future, that through them and through their careful deliberation of important issues, your blessings might flow also upon our state and nation, that we might walk the path of peace. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Alistine, Bogalco, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frerichs, Frisley, Garnos, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Krauss, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Northrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. There's a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respects the reports that has had that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 13th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. It is adopted. Communications, please.
January 26, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President, members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution and subject to your consent, I am honored to inform you that I have reappointed Darren Bergquist, Hughes County, Pierce, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Transportation. This reappointment was effective January 8, 2011. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Thank you. I announce a referral of the appointment to the Committee on Transportation.
January 26, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President, members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution and subject to your consent, I am honored to inform you that I have reappointed Timothy A. Reich, Minor County, Howard, South Dakota, to the position of the Secretary of the Department of Corrections. This reappointment was effective January 8, 2011. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Thank you. I announce that the referral of the appointment is to the Committee on Judiciary.
January 26, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution and subject to your consent, I am honored to inform you that I have reappointed Steve Perner, Hughes County, Pierce, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. This reappointment was effective January 8, 2011. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Thank you, ma'am. And I announce that the referral of the appointment is to the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources.
January 26, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution and subject to your consent, I am honored to inform you that I have appointed Kimberly Malsom Risden, Hughes County, Pierce, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Social Services. This appointment was effective January 8, 2011. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
And thank you. And I announce the referral of the appointment to the Committee on Health and Human Services.
January 26, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution, and subject to your consent, I am honored to inform you that I have reappointed Pamela Roberts, Hughes County, Pierce, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Labor. This reappointment was effective January 8, 2011. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
May I announce a referral of the appointment to the Committee on Commerce and Energy.
January 26, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of Article 4, Section 9 of the Constitution, and subject to your consent, I am honored to inform you that I have appointed Walter Bones, Turner County, Chancellor, South Dakota, to the position of Secretary of the Department of Agriculture. This appointment was effective January 8, 2011. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
I announce the appointment be referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources.
The Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, I have the honor to inform you that Governor M. Michael Rounds did appoint the persons in the attached appointment letters during the time period between 2010 and 2011 legislative sessions. I respectfully request your consent on these appointments. Sincerely, Dennis Dugard, Governor. The appointments are Jean Don Morris, Career Service Commission; Barbara Christensen, Career Service Commission; Richard Gowan, South Dakota Board of Education; Donald Kierkegaard, South Dakota Board of Education; Stanley Porch, South Dakota Ellsworth Development Authority; Mark Roby, South Dakota Ellsworth Development Authority; Raymond Wall, South Dakota Energy Infrastructure Authority; Barry Jensen, Game Fish and Parks Commission; James C. Spies, Game Fish and Parks Commission; Bill Hansen, Housing Development Authority; Brent Dykstra, Housing Development Authority; Linda Barker, Housing Development Authority; Paul Simmons, Housing Development Authority; Terry Balloon, State Board of Regents; Randy Morris, State Board of Regents; Patrick L. Weber, State Board of Regents; Patricia LeBrun, South Dakota Science and Technology Authority; Lauren McManus, South Dakota Crime Victims Compensation Commission; Alicia Y. Alvarez, South Dakota Crime Victims Compensation Commission.
President announces a referral to the following committees of the appointments. Jean Morris, State Affairs; Barbara Christensen, State Affairs; Richard Gowan, Education; Donald Kierkegaard, Education; Stan Porch, State Affairs; Mark Roby, State Affairs; Raymond Wally, Commerce and Energy; Barry Jensen, Agriculture and Natural Resources; James Spies, Agriculture and Natural Resources; Bill Hansen, State Affairs; Brent Dykstra; Linda Barker and Paul Simmons, State Affairs; Terry Balloon and Randy Morris; and Patrick Weber, Education; Patricia LeBrun, State Affairs; Lauren McManus, Judiciary; and Alicia Alvarez, Judiciary. Before we proceed to reports of standing committees, ladies and gentlemen and the senators, what occurred there just now is referrals to various committees as directed by the President Pro Tem of the Senate. All those individuals were interim appointments by the previous governor, and our Constitution said that those appointments lapsed and therefore need to be reappointed by Governor Dugard, and so that's why we went through that long process. In addition, our Senate's responsible under the Constitution to advise and consent to those appointments, and that's why they're referred to those committees. I'd like to welcome everybody listening and people in attendance here, and a couple of announcements. There will be no health screenings tomorrow by the South Dakota State University pharmacists, but they will still provide a light breakfast. And we'd like to recognize in our gallery today David Erickson and his team. David is the CEO for FreeConferenceCall.com. He's provided some cookies and cream and coffee, following adjournment today in the lobby here. And we're very grateful for your visit, sir, and your team. They already have a presence in South Dakota and are exploring a bigger presence, and we're grateful for you being in South Dakota and looking, you and Hector and Jeff and your whole team for being here. So thank you very much. Madam Secretary, do you wish to introduce somebody?
Yes, we have a special visitor today. It's a former Secretary of the Senate, Pat Adam.
Yay!
She taught me all I know.
Actually, a lot of us. Thank you very much. Any other personal privileges? Very good. Again, welcome everybody to your state capitol and your Senate. Reports of standing committees. Thank you.
Mr. President, the Committee on Education respectfully reports it has had under consideration Senate Bill 137 and recommends said bill do pass, and Senate Bill 72, which was amended, and recommends said bill do pass as amended, and Senate Bill 85, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Cooper Garnos, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bills 1017 and 1019 and recommends said bills do pass, and House Bills 1004, 1018, 1020, and 1021 and recommends said bills do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 105, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Craig Teason, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports has had under consideration Senate Bill 64 and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bills 43 and 70, which were amended, and recommends said bills do pass as amended, and Senate Bill 100, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Tom Nelson, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports has had under consideration Senate Bill 106 and recommend said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and the nomination of Jeffrey R. Vonk, and recommends confirmation of said appointment, and Senate Bill 91, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Chantel Krebs, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bill 15 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1003, 1006, 1007, 1008, 1031, 1032, 1040, 1044, 1051, 1057, 1067, 1069, 1081, 1098, and 1099, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to return herewith Senate Bill 15, which has passed the House without change. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to return with it herewith Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1, in which the House has concurred. Respectfully, Karen Curtis, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions, please.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, a concurrent resolution endorsing the adoption of a national flag to honor and remember those who died while serving in America's military. Senator Haverly moves that Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, as found on page 237 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
Comments on that motion? Senator Haverly, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I'm going to apologize in advance for the little cold that I happen to find somewhere here in the Capitol. It's small, but it's irritating. So if you can't understand me, it might have something to do with the cold. December 29, 2005, while he was on patrol in Fallujah, Iraq, a sniper's bullet killed a soldier named Corporal George Anthony Lutz II, known to his family as Tony. To me, this resolution is not necessarily about the ultimate sacrifice of the individual soldier, because many soldiers have died while in service to our country. But it is the single act of the sniper's bullet that carried this movement forward across the nation. This movement was started by George Lutz, Tony's father, who had visited other families in the months that followed Tony's funeral. George Lutz realized that he was now a member of an elite group of United States citizens that had lost a member of their family in defense of the freedoms we all enjoy today. I met George last fall, and his dedication to this project is unwavering. The resolution itself is urging the United States Congress to adopt the flag created by Honor and Remember Organization as a national honor and remember flag. Many of you might have a question as to why have a flag. Well, the answer is pretty simple. In more than 200 years of our nation's history, there has never been an officially recognized symbol that reminds us of the ultimate sacrifice of our men and women who wear the uniform in defense of our country. You should all now, by now, have a brochure on the Honor and Remember organization. I urge you to take a couple of minutes and read through that to see what the organization is doing. And take that time also to read the resolution itself. Next session, I hope to bring a bill to have South Dakota recognize this flag as well. Many states have gotten on board. So with that, Mr. President, members of the Senate, I thank you in advance for the overwhelming support on Senate Concurrent Resolution number 4. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Haverly's motion that SCR 4 be adopted. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler? Furix?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos? Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley? Senator Cutler?
Cutler?
Senator Cutler?
Excused.
Senator Garnos?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 34 ayes, one excused.
Senator Haverly motion that SCR 4 be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and SCR 4 is so adopted. Okay, consideration reports of committee.
Senator Olson moves that the reports of the Standing Committees on Transportation on Senate Bill 4 is found on page 236 of the Senate Journal. Also, Local Government on Senate Bill 69 is found on page 235 of the Senate Journal. Also, Local Government on Senate Bill 75 is found on page 234 of the Senate Journal. Also, Local Government on Senate Bill 89 is found on page 235 of the Senate Journal be adopted.
Is there a second? All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Consideration of executive appointment.
The Senate proceeds to consideration of the executive appointment of Amy Iverson Polrise of Hughes County, Pierce, South Dakota, as the interim secretary of the Department of Human Services.
Comments on the advice and consent appointment of Amy Iverson Polrise.
Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Hunoff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, members of the Senate. I would like to move for the appointment of Amy Iverson Polrise of Hughes County. Ms. Polrise is a native South Dakotan. She grew up in Myrtle. She attended Dakota State University, where she received a bachelor's in psychology. She then graduated from South Dakota State University with a master's in counseling. She spent her early career in Fort Pierre and Stanley County serving as a counselor. In 2000, she came over to the Department of Human Services and served for the past 5 years as the Director of Mental Health Services. In asking about her vision for the future for the department, first of all, is to assist with the transition of mental health services from human services over to social services, and secondly, to redefine what the role is of state government of helping those individuals that are still remaining in human services, which would be our disabled, our Redfield, and our community programming for those individuals. And so with that in mind, I would ask you to support and vote yes on the nomination. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, does the Senate advise and consent to the appointment of Amy Iverson Polrise pursuant to the message as found on page 171 of the Senate Journal? Those in favor of advice and consent will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Buell or Brown? Excuse me, aye. Senator Brown. Buell?
Aye.
Cutler? Furix?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos? Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Sindergarnos?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 34 ayes, one excused.
The advice and consent question, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and the appointment is confirmed. First reading of Senate bills, please.
Senate Bill 200, an act to revise certain provisions related to school district fund balances. Senate Bill 201, an act to restrict the application of certain foreign laws, legal codes, and system with respect to state legal proceedings. And Senate Bill 202, an act to revise the State Workers' Compensation Advisory Council.
Thank you. The President announces the assignment by the President pro tem of Senate Bills 201, 202 to Commerce and Energy, and 200 to Education. First reading of House bills. We have these bills have passed. For people who are listening or here in person, these bills have passed the House, and our Constitution requires that they be read in open session because obviously we didn't have computers then, so people could keep track of not only the titles but where they were assigned. And so just from an efficiencies perspective, because we computerize them and track them that way now, we'll have all four of the team up front reading at the same time in the titles to comply with the Constitution, and then we'll do the assignments as the pro tem has requested. Please proceed.
House Bill 1044, an act to revise certain water district voter eligibility provisions. House Bill 1051, an act to provide deadlines for the transmission of voter registration files. House Bill 1057, an act to repeal the provisions that require the county auditor to assist in locating unregistered mobile homes. House Bill 1081, an act to eliminate the requirement that certain political subdivisions purchase an accounting manual. House Bill 1099, an act to revise certain provisions regarding local historic preservation projects.
And thank you. The President announces the following assignments. House Bill 1006, 1098 to Agriculture and Natural Resources, 1008 to Appropriations, 1031 and 1032 to Commerce and Energy, 1003, 1040, 1067, 1069 to Judiciary and to Local Government, 1044, 1051, 1057, 1081, and 1099, the infamous 1099. Consent calendar. Ladies and gentlemen, our consent calendar is comprised of bills that passed out of committee unanimously, and if they pass unanimously and the committee asks that they be put on the consent calendar, they're not subject to debate. Now, they can be pulled off for any reason. There's one bill that had two-thirds requirement. That's not allowed according to the Senate rules. And we vote on them together. There is no debate allowed, but they could be pulled out for debate. Madam Secretary.
Senator Frisley requested that Senate Bill 28 be removed from the consent calendar. Senate Bill 102, an act to repeal an outdated provision regarding the assessment of property for school districts. Senate Bill 142, an act to repeal the requirement that members of certain boards and commissions receive the advice and consent of the Senate.
Thank you. Senate Bills 102 and 142, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler? Frerichs?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos? Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden? Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 34 ayes and one excused.
Thank you. Senate Bills 142 and 102, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed accepted. Okay, second reading of Senate bills. This is our debate calendar. Please proceed. Thank you.
Senator Olson moves that Senate bills 33, 3, 35, 88, and 90 be deferred to Wednesday, February 2nd, the 15th legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. They are deferred.
Senate bill number 5. An act to revise the maximum distance from a bridge for posting maximum vehicle weight warning signage.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Krebs, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. President and members of the Senate. I'm here today to just inform you of Senate Bill 5, which is coming from the Department of Transportation, and they're taking out the commission being involved in posting of signs. Currently, it's going to stay as it is in statute now, that your county commissioners, your townships, or your road districts can place a sign for a bridge to be notified of the weight limit 100 feet prior to the entrance of those bridges on both sides. What this is asking to do on the local level or the Department of Transportation is changing that maximum footage to 600 feet. If you look back at the history of when bridges were built in the days of the 40s and 50s, maximum load limits were a much different amount, probably a lot lower than what we're currently hauling out of our farms and fields to market today. So we recognize that change and recognize that we need to let the people that are hauling with these equipment, that they are heavier load limits to give them appropriate stopping time, that the amount of footage that would be required would be up to 600 feet. So we're changing the footage from 100 feet postings to 600 feet prior to those entrances. As well, it's stated, and I believe in line 9, that if they feel and deem necessary, they can post at the intersection prior so that they can make the turnoff to avoid that bridge as well. Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate your favorable support of Senate Bill 5.
Thank you, ma'am. Further remarks on Senate Bill 5? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 5. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary of Police call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler? Furicks?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam? Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Thiessen, Valley. Mr. President, we have 34 ayes, one excused.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed accepted. Senator Frerichs would like for me to announce that on behalf of himself and all of us, we have in the gallery today some citizens from across South Dakota participating in Children's Day at the Capitol, including South Dakota Voices for Children's Youth Advisory Council, the Board of Directors and representatives of the 30 organizations sponsoring Children's Day. And congratulations and thank you for being here. We appreciate it, braving the great South Dakota weather. Ironical, it would be on a snow day for a lot of children. So, thank you.
Senate Bill 22, an act to provide for the regulation and licensure of birth centers.
Thank you. Senate Bill 22, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the Senate. SB 22 would provide for the regulation and licensure of birth centers in South Dakota. Birth centers are designed to provide an alternative environment to a hospital. currently we have no licensing requirement that exists in South Dakota to permit for the delivery of scheduled births outside a hospital or the residence of the woman giving birth. This bill provides an alternative, a safe one, to a hospital so that it gives the Department of Health the appropriate regulatory authority to ensure quality health care services will be provided by qualified, licensed health care professionals. Currently, this type of facility, one of the requirements of the bill is that it would be located within 30 minutes of a hospital that provides deliveries on a regular basis. Also, it would cover in the rules that would be developed that childbirth is normal, not in a health process, but that critical complications can occur, and that's why you would require the closeness to immediate medical intervention. One of the American College of obstetrics and gynecology standards of care is that anesthesia and surgical personnel be available within 30 minutes of the decision to perform a C-section. Other states have incorporated a similar 30-minute standard into their birth center regulations. I would hope that you could support this bill and provide an opportunity for a safe environment for a delivery outside a hospital setting. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Hunoff. Further remarks on Senate Bill 22. Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 22. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Burricks?
Aye.
Grizzly?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
No.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen? Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff? Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
No.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
No.
Putnam?
No.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann? Teason?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 28 ayes, 6 nays, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 22, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 55, an act to allow the shooting of coyotes from snowmobiles.
Thank you. Senate Bill 55, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Maher.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 55 comes to us on behalf of Northwestern South Dakota. I brought this to help our livestock producers in their quest to make a living out there, also protect their livestock. Over the course of the last couple of years, we've seen our livestock herds hurt by the continued growth in the livestock and the coyote populations and the decimation of our livestock herds. Coyotes killed by the USDA by air in FY 2010 was 2,558. Estimated value of South Dakota sheep herds and lambs that were lost to predators in 2009 was estimated at $608,000. The estimated value of the South Dakota cattle and calves lost to all predators in 2005 was estimated at $1.29 million. In this bill, we are simply allowing the landowner to carry out his duty of taking care of his livestock via a snowmobile and taking a shot at a coyote from a snowmobile that is stationary, and he must be at least 18 years or older. Last week, on Monday, at Faith Livestock, 90-pound lambs were selling for $2.04 a pound, up to $2.06 a pound. That is an approximate cost of $185 a head for a 90-pound lamb. A young ewe that same day was selling for $240 to $250 a head. That is some serious cash when you look at a coyote band of coyotes coming in and taking 10 head a night. We're upwards over $2,000, and that can happen multiple times in a week. If the government fails to help protect your property, you must give the landowner the tools to protect himself. In 2009, I brought a bill, Senate Bill 104, that would have added another dollar from the licensing fees to Animal Damage Control, or ADC, as known in the agency. This was defeated on the floor of the Senate. Now we come with another solution to a problem that has only grown larger over the last 3 years. With this passage, I hope we can continue to protect our livestock in northwestern South Dakota. Thank you, members of the body, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 55. I answer to both.
Oh, that's good.
No problem. Sometimes. Senator Nygaard, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Well, I just want to speak to the bill briefly in that in my district, we've had a overwhelmingly large increase of coyotes. I think it's due to the fact that we've gone Division I and our enrollment's increasing at a fast rate. And with that being said, that's why I have to resist this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 55. Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Well, I wanted to rise just to remind this body of a few things. This bill we received, I know a number of us received a number of emails, and I think there's a pretty broad misperception about what this is about. I got a lot of emails talking about the spirit of the hunt and fair chase and animal cruelty. Well, just to touch on a couple of those subjects, I want to tell you emphatically that this isn't about hunting. It's not about a fair chase. It's about giving landowners the tools to protect their livelihood. It's not about hunting. It's about killing an animal that's threatening their ability to do so. As plain and simple as that. Also, it occurred to me today as we were visiting about the subject, I think it was Senator Valley that brought it up, and I guess I don't mean to steal his thunder, but I thought it was very legitimate that if you're talking about cruelty, I've witnessed what coyotes can do to sheep, and I've seen the pain and the suffering, animals that are left to die sometimes when the coyotes might be well-fed that kill just for sport or maim an animal and leave them. And so if you're looking at it from an animal cruelty standpoint, I would suggest it's a whole lot more cruel for a lamb or a sheep or a ewe to be eaten alive than it is to give the landowner the ability to go and dispatch of the problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. The neat thing about with the passage of this legislation, we hopefully can curb the amount of times where snowmobilers will, the way it's happening now, just simply chase the coyotes and run them over. That practice happens throughout our state, and this is going to be one tool for the toolbox for landowners to take care of the problem when it's there and not have to worry about other sort of circumstances, especially when the game, fish, and parks spend some of their wildlife fund money to not only patrol those areas on the ground, but also in the air. So I urge your support. This is a nice, humane way. I echo the comments from my friend over on the other side that it's a solid bill, and I ask for your support.
Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, when the senator from the northwest part of the state came to me with this bill originally, I looked at him, and I smiled, and I says, "I don't think so, Senator." He came back to me with some changes, and he had made it so that it was just the landowner on his own land. Well, that, for me, took away the aspect of it being a sport or trying to make this a hunting deal for getting people from out of town or out of state coming and shooting coyotes. The next part is, I said, would you mind if I offer an amendment to make it so it's from a stationary snowmobile, so we don't have the perception of it being the Wild West and the gun and rifle or shotgun in the air and chasing out across the snowfield? He says, no, I wouldn't have a problem with that. So I offered that amendment and it passed. So now we've taken care of both the problem of trying to make this a sport or a hunting aspect of it, because we said it's just the landowner protecting his assets. And secondly, we've addressed the safety issue by making it only from a stationary snowmobile. You know, the night before this came up before the committee, I was at a gathering, and there was a couple ranchers there. So I said to one of the ranchers, I said, "So what do you think of this bill?" And I explained it to him, and he looked at me and says, "Well, why is he proposing that?" I says, "Well, it's illegal." He looked at me and gave me that dumb look, like, you know, the look is, "You got to be kidding me." I says, no, it's illegal. And the first thing he said to me, he says, "Well, how do you expect me to get them?" And that was his point. He says, it's too deep out there to get a pickup. You'll get stuck. And how do you expect me to protect my assets? The other day, when I was talking with someone also, as a good senator had said, we talked about cruelty. And if you can see what a coyote does to lambs, you have an idea of what cruelty is. And third, the other day I was talking to a person who was just coming through the hall here and is in a county next to mine, and I said, "Do you ever have any problem with coyotes?" He says, "Well, not this year," but he says, "A few years back, I lost 46 lambs to coyotes before I could get trappers in there and take care of the problem." And I would say to you, it's probably a lot more humane to dispatch the coyote with a rifle shot than it is to set traps also. So with that, Mr. President, I would urge the body to pass Senate Bill 55. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question of the sponsor.
State your question, ma'am.
Thank you. On line 14 of the bill, it releases the owner or lessee from any liability. Is that verbiage that's found in all language where we have hunting that is atypical, using a vehicle or some kind of machine, that you release the liability?
Senator Maher, do you wish to answer the question?
I don't know that that is directly in other statutes. I think that was in the original draft of the bill when it was probably more open, and we were trying to, if this was going to become a new sport in South Dakota, we were going to limit the liability of the landowners. I don't know that it necessarily needs to be in there now, considering we just limited this to landowners.
You have the floor, Senator Hunoff.
Thank you. Can I just have one more follow-up?
Please proceed.
Okay, if Senator Roden is out coyote hunting on the snowmobile and he sees Senator Hunoff out, you know, somewhere, maybe doesn't see her, and he shoots Senator Hunoff instead of the coyote, is he liable for the action?
Senator Maher, do you wish to answer the question?
I'll attempt. First question is, what are you doing on Senator Roden's property?
That's answering a question with a question.
But once again, this is for landowners on their own property. And out west, you know, we've got 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 acres of land. And so the chances of you getting shot out there are very slim, unless you're not supposed to be out there without prior approval.
Senator Hunoff, you have the floor.
Well, thank you for that answer. I guess that's my question. You know, rifles, you can shoot a long ways with that. And I'm just concerned that if we relieve the landowner or the lessee of the liability, and, you know, nobody is out there to shoot anybody, sometimes accidents do happen. So I just wondered if it was regular verbiage, and we've put it, I did not check previous statutes, but it does raise a question of liability if that releases that individual from that. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 55? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 55. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler? Burix?
Aye.
Frisley?
No.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen? Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Krause?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
No.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
No.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 30 ayes, 4 nays, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 55, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any question on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed accepted. Senators, would you please join me in welcoming to the Capitol, first time this session, but no stranger, a public servant who is in the House of Representatives that we're really honored to have, not only as a friend, but a leader in the Rapid City area, the mayor of Rapid City, Alan Hanks. Great to have you, Mayor. Thank you.
Senate Bill 92, an act to extend for 3 years the period of time in which school districts may expend capital outlay funds for certain transportation, insurance, energy, and utility costs, to include group health insurance costs among those costs, and to increase the percentage of capital outlay funds which may be expended for those costs.
Thank you. Senate Bill 92, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Garnos, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, I come before you with Senate Bill 92. Part of it's a rerun from yesterday, dealing with the capital outlay. The major functions that change within this bill would be the sunset clause, which would go from 2012 to 2015. And the big portion, which I want to stress and talk about a little, is the purchase of group health insurance for its employees out of the capital outlay. The other change would be to put the limitation at 60%. Yesterday was 45%, 60% today, and the reason for that, because you do include health care. There will be amendment, and I consider it a friendly amendment, 92JA, at some point, which will actually take back out of the bill from 2010 and put it at 2008, the levies. With that being said, I'll be as brief as I possibly can. I bring this before you today because we have major cuts on the horizon in South Dakota, not only in education, but in health care and all across the board in state government. It's going to happen. It's just, what is the percentage going to be? 0, 5, 10? We don't know that yet, but there will be cuts in South Dakota. And I come before you with this bill today, and in terms of school districts being able to use capital outlay, there's distress, and there's distress in the general fund. And as we know, the general fund in education, about 85% of it pays salary, benefits, and health care in the general fund. Little different with state employees. It's kind of, at the current time, a line item. They have salary policy on one side of the line, and the other side they have health insurance. The general fund, the capital outlay, special ed, pension, food services, 874 trust funds, those are what the schools have in terms of their funds, where they get their money. For some, there are certain obligations where it must go. We've had the limits on capital outlay for years. We changed it 3 years ago. Senator Olson brought the bill back yesterday, which would actually sunset that and move it for a couple more years forward. But let's talk a little bit more about the health care. It's an 800-pound gorilla in the room. Comes out of the general fund. We know on from the federal level there's a lot of uncertainty. There's been two rulings for, two rulings against, in some of the appellate courts, federal courts, on whether it's constitutional or not. That's going to play out over the next several years. And that, again, is why I brought the sunset forward. What we find is in South Dakota, some of the large school districts, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, they have large pools to pick from, 2,000 to 3,000 employees, certified staff, classified staff, the certified staff being the teachers, administrators, the classified being janitorial services, contracted services. But when we look at all of the schools, midsize and smaller, I look at the general fund as being even more in a precarious situation for those schools. But what we found out yesterday and today is that the capital outlay, large and small schools, are using this. Again, this would be sunsetted in 2015, and we're also going to see another bill later this session which actually could possibly take the caps off the general fund. And I think it goes hand in glove with this. If you take the restrictions, we're going to talk about that as a body probably in a few days or a week, but if you take the restrictions off the general fund, that will give them more flexibility. And I think by having this in place, the capital outlay funds, those work together. If you give more flexibility in the general, they're going to have more flexibility in the capital outlay. And then at some point, I think, you know, I'm hoping this will go back to where it should belong, just where you deal with just buildings with that. Again, what's out there? The cuts. We're certainly going to have them. It's just how big. And finally, I think the words taken yesterday, let's take this in context. What's going on today? This isn't 2 years ago. This isn't 15 years ago. This isn't 25 years ago. And you may hear those arguments. Well, this is what capital outlay was used for, and it should always be this way. But think of it in context. It's a different time and different place, ladies and gentlemen. What we're looking at here, number two, is human capital, the infrastructure within the schools. It's the people. Number three, this is optional. This is local control. Number four, you have flexibility. Number five, it's budget neutral. With that being said, I'll stand by for any questions, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Brown.
Mr. President, at this time I'd like to move Amendment 92JA.
Second.
It's been distributed, sir.
Yes.
Comments on that motion, 92 Juliet Alpha. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think as we looked through this bill, one of the concerns that I had, and even in the original capital outlay extension bill that was passed 2 years ago, we wanted to be exceptionally careful to make sure that we didn't put this flexibility in and then just give carte blanche to the schools to come back and raise their levies and bring in additional tax into that capital outlay fund. The original bill 2 years ago placed that date prior to the legislative session when we were deciding that. So, in effect, you could only deal with what existed prior to having that discussion. I did have a little bit of concern with changing that date to 2010 at this point because, in effect, you could call this a tax increase if you wanted to because we did have some schools that have adjusted those levies over the last 2 years. So what Amendment 92JA does is it simply takes it back to the original capital outlay extension bill. It sets those levies back at that 2008 date and therefore prevents any concern about whether or not there's a tax increase. So I would just ask whether or not you support the general concept. I think it's important that we're very careful with that, and I would certainly urge your support on the amendment one way or the other. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Comments on Senator Brown's motion, 92, Juliet Alpha. Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Brown's motion, 92, Juliet Alpha, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. 92 is so amended. Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 is amended. Senator Gray.
Mr. President, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I have great respect for what Senator Garnas is trying to do, trying to give the schools some more flexibility. But I think this probably cracks the door open just a little too far. It's not consistent with capital outlay. I think yesterday we passed a bill that, in my mind, is a little more consistent with capital, allowing for energy and utility costs, allowing for fuel to fuel the buses, more consistent in my mind with capital. Health insurance is not consistent with capital outlay. I'll repeat some of the concerns that some of the senators shared yesterday in that I think if we go down this road, we will have school districts that become addicted to using capital outlay dollars for health care expenses. And we all know health care is very expensive. I'll grant you that. But at some point, we will either be renewing this, allowing them to continue to do it, or they will come back and say, we need to raise the capital outlay levy to $4, to $5, to however much it is, so that they can take care of their schools and their real capital needs. So I'm asking you today to resist this bill. I think it goes a little too far. Certainly, I recognize there's some need for flexibility at these times, but I don't think this is the right vehicle to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 as amended. Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, it's time for that history lesson again. You don't need to go very far back to remember a gentleman, and I'm going to try and quote him as well as I can, the Honorable Representative Gordon Peterson. I'm sure that if he was standing here before you right now, he may say something like, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard." For those of you who knew him, he was always blunt. You know, you all heard yesterday what I had to say and what many of the opposition had to say, and the same thing stands true today. But I'm going to come at it from a different approach. They're utilizing the capital outlay as one-time monies. And here's the history part. How many of you have been here the last couple of years for one-time money? It worked really well. No, it didn't. You're fueling ongoing expenses with one-time money. You're not living within your means. You're fueling those expenses with one-time money. It's the same thing that this state is faced with right now. It's time for everybody to buck up at every level of government, including school boards, and live within their means instead of funding out of the wrong areas. If you don't think for a minute that they're not going to be back for another extension, I'll tell you you're wrong, because they're not changing anything. They still have those expenses. So I would ask you to oppose this bill like I did yesterday on that bill, and hopefully you can do that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 as amended. Senator Rambleberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to the bill. When you think about I voted yesterday for the bill because it had at least some semblance of dealing with capital issues. I think that a lot has been said. My thought is this. If we approve something like this, it's going to remove the ability of the school boards to negotiate some of the salaries and wages that they deal with every year. And this will be one issue that will not be a part of that. And I really believe it will make it very difficult for them to negotiate a complete package. So I would urge you to resist and vote against this.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 as amended. Any further remarks? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I thought I'd better jump up. I saw the prime getting ready to make his final comments. And I don't mean to call this a dead horse, but it's been getting beat quite a bit here lately, so I guess I'll pile on a little bit. Well, we all heard the comments were made yesterday, and I think they hold true to this. I've been at this. This is my 11th session in the legislature, and I was trying to recall how many of those 11 years there wasn't a bill to further open the door on capital outlay. And I was thinking about that at the end of caucus, and I had this flash of brilliance, perhaps not. But if we're going to keep widening the door on capital outlay, given the conversation we had yesterday about the inequity of capital outlay and the unlevel playing field that we put our students in, especially as we keep turning more and more and more toward capital outlay to fund ongoing programs, maybe I should quit fighting against this. Maybe we should go full speed forward, equalize education, throw capital outlay in with the general fund, and equalize it throughout the state. If we're going to continue to use more and find more and more reasons, valid reasons, legal reasons, to use capital outlay, let's just throw it open and equalize it and be done with it. Then we wouldn't have schools like Faith, South Dakota, where we have kids going, the high schoolers going to school in trailer houses. This weekend I attended a fundraiser. The citizens of that community are working, you know, nickel, dime, dollars, raising funds to build their own school because they simply have very little capital, and through the capital outlay as it currently exists, cannot afford to build a high school. So, again, it's an issue we need to address someday. Maybe this is how we do it. Maybe this is how we equalize capital outlay. Until that day, until we decide we want to do that, I think we should step back and maybe think harder about opening the door a little farther every day. Thank you.
Further remarks. Senator Bradford.
Mr. President, what I look at it a little bit in this is we're putting this in the hands of what we all say should be. That's local control. We're not saying you have to. We're just going to allow you to do some on that level. in local control. I know when I was chairman of the county, there was things that was done with money that I thought we should have had the power to be able to do. But the state had already decided for us that we couldn't do that. We weren't able to spend money from one fund, and maybe next year we don't need to spend nothing out of that fund. Do you think that all our local people are not capable of making a decision? I kind of think they are. And perhaps some of you have been in those positions when you've said, how do they know up there in Pier what happens in my county, how we deal with making sure our kids get a good education or maybe a good building? Maybe those are things I think we really have to take a longer look at. The second thing is, if we'd properly fund education, we wouldn't even have to be worrying about this bill.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 as amended. Senator Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today in opposition of this bill for a couple of different reasons than my colleagues have expressed so far. While I appreciate the intentions of the bill, and I absolutely support local control, I can't sit by and let us pass a Band-Aid that lets us get by without actually funding education. I really feel that this gives us an out and says to school districts, mine of which supports this bill, by the way, and let's just say to school districts that it's okay that we don't fully fund the education formula because we passed the capital outlay flexibility bill. I think that would be a real disservice to our long-term investment in our requirement and our obligation to school districts. And so I urge the members of the body to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 as amended. Senator Brown.
I'm not going to make this real long, but I would ask folks to remember that 2 years ago when we discussed this, in addition to having a relationship to the capital outlay fund, those three areas that were chosen also had something else in common. We were just entering a period of economic downturn, and there were a lot of questions about what the price of utilities were going to do. There was a lot of questions about what the price of diesel fuel was going to do. And that was another reason for the logic of why some of those things were chosen. I think given the context of where we're at today, healthcare falls into that same category. We've seen some of the most dramatic increases in healthcare premiums over the last 2 years that we've ever experienced as a country. And given the uncertainty that's out on the federal level, I think it's perhaps prudent of us to at least allow that as an option as we move forward here. So I think there is certainly some logic to having that included into the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Garnas speaks a second time? Hearing none, Senator Garnas.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. Briefly, I'll make 3 points. I think by passing this bill, by passing the one we did yesterday, by going back several years to Senator Bogolka, I think he had a bill that was brought forward out of capital outlay, books, maybe computers, possibly. There's distress, and it's in the general fund, bottom line. One of the reasons in Faith, South Dakota, obviously there's the capital outlay issue, but what Faith runs into also, being where it's at, I mean, they struggled to bring people in to even interview. If you had a science opening in Faith, I bet you'd be lucky to get 1, 2, 3, 4 applicants. And if any of those, you know, it'd be hard saying how good they'd be. Number two, speaking of history, the funding formula history, I've been up here 12 years. Over the 12 years I've been up here, we have given, by state law, 2 to 3% in education. Last year we flatlined it, but roughly, if you look back at the average over the last 12 years, it's been 2 to 3%. A couple occasions we've gave outside the formula. So in terms of history, we have to look at the context of history. And when we look at history, it shows us that this year we'll probably be making our own history in terms of cuts. I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. I have a pretty good feeling that's going to happen. So if we're going to talk history, let's talk that part of it too. Then number three, you know, I can't stress this enough. Different time, different place. It's optional. It's local control. They don't have to do it. The local school boards don't have to do this. Here we are up in Pierre saying we want control and tell them a law like this that keeps control up here. All this does is give them the flexibility. They don't have to do it. And I think the people that we put on local school boards, I think the local school boards that put superintendents in place, I think they are very knowledgeable people and have an opportunity to do that. I mean, no disrespect to anybody else, nobody up here in the legislature, but I think this is a tool that they can use. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 92 as amended? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage on Senate Bill 92 as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Alstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
No.
Cutler? Frerichs?
No.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Haverly?
No.
Heineman?
No.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Johnston?
No.
Kraus?
No.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
No.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
No.
Nygaard?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
No.
Putnam?
No.
Rampelberg?
No.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
No.
Schleckowe?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
No.
Thiessen?
No.
Valley?
No.
Mr. President, we have 14 ayes, 20 nays, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 92, as amended, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost.
Senate Bill 129, an act to revise which county employees may assist in the execution of United States passport applications and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 129, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Schleckowe.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. This is an act that broadens the number of county employees who may assist in the execution of United States passport applications. Now, some of you may be wondering why we're up here in the South Dakota legislature talking about passport applications, but I want to review just briefly why this statute change is necessary for the state of South Dakota moving forward. The U.S. Passport Agency recently made a ruling change, and they no longer allow the same person to execute passports while executing birth certificates and other vital records. Now, currently in South Dakota, our statute says that that responsibility at the county level involves only the register of deeds, specifically in statute. So we have a lot of counties in the state of South Dakota who have the register of deeds are the only person who perform both functions. Well, because of this ruling change, that is no longer possible. So what this statute will do moving forward is allow the county commissioners in each county to designate someone else who works for the county to be the person to assist in the passport applications. And let me just share a brief story. There was a situation in Hand County where the county treasurer applied to be an additional help and was denied as a result of this change from the Fed. So essentially, this keeps our passport services in all counties. If we don't pass this, 16 counties would be impacted, ranging from big counties like Pennington and Davison counties all the way down to Hand and Hyde counties. So I would urge the body's support. Keep in mind, this isn't a two-thirds vote. This requires an emergency clause. The passport agency set a May 1st implementation date. This has to be passed now so we can comply by May 1st. So thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on Senate Bill 129? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage on Senate Bill 129. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. As Senator Schleckowe noted, there is an emergency clause that requires two-thirds majority vote. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Kraus.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 34 ayes, one excused.
Thank you. Senate Bill 129, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed accepted. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1014, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the purpose of the 911 emergency surcharge and to provide rulemaking authority to the 911 coordination board to establish allowable recurring and non-recurring costs for the operation of a public safety answering point.
House Bill 1014, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. As many may recall, we did have a few issues and discussions that occurred around the 911 system last year. One of the things that was requested of the 911 Coordination Board was to come back and provide a list of alternatives through the rules process that identified different ways the PSAPs could comply with the rules that had been established. If you take a look at this particular bill, you'll see that that requirement was codified in that last paragraph there. The 911 Coordination Board has gone through that process and provided those alternatives, so quite frankly, that portion of this bill is just simply cleanup at this point. There are a few other changes that clarify the use of recurring and non-recurring costs, but certainly I would urge the body's support of this particular measure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on House Bill 1014. Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 1014. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. This does require a two-thirds majority vote because of the change in the distribution of the recurrent fund and appropriation. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bigalka?
Aye.
Brown? Or Bradford? Excuse me.
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler? Frerichs?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Schleckaway?
Aye. Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, we have 33 ayes, one nay, one excused.
House Bill 1014, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed accepted. Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate, our Constitution requires that the presiding officer of the Senate sign bills that have passed the House and the Senate and read their title in open session. At this time, the President signs an act to revise the definition of accredited prevention or treatment facilities and to authorize the Division of Drug and Alcohol Abuse to inspect these facilities and access their records. Announcements. Any announcements? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President, I have a couple announcements. First of all, tomorrow morning, Catacomb Caucus in the Governor's large conference room at 7 o'clock. Also, State Affairs tomorrow, room 414, 10 o'clock. Did I say Senate State Affairs?
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay, great.
It was a flash. Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Taxation will meet at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
for their announcements. Senator Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Human Services will meet at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And just a reminder for Health and Human Services, if you would like to go to the health lab this afternoon between 3:30 and 4 to tour the area. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Schleckaway.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government Committee tomorrow at 7:45 a.m. Senate Local Government tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. President. WHIP group meetings immediately following in your respective rooms. Immediate following session.
Thank you. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tonight out at the Black Hills Stock Show is a ranch rodeo finals. Over 50 teams have been competing. Even some of us, our friends, you should say, from east of the river, make the trek out there. I encourage anybody to tune in or watch.
Thank you. Senator Valley.
Senate Transportation, 8:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further announcements? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appropriations, 8 o'clock.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans will caucus tomorrow at 1 o'clock, room 423.
Thank you. Further announcements? Madam Secretary, you're up.
Senator Holeen moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.